Well, I'd like for us to take our Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians today. As we look there in chapter number 1, I'm looking at the matter of the mind as we think about the subject matter I mentioned last week, and I think I'm going to follow up with a couple more sermons on this matter of there is an answer when we that title being given to the world and the condition of the world today with the things that we're seeing in the world. And this morning I want to talk about the mind, the answer of the mind. It's amazing how powerful the mind is in each and every individual. As we think about that, we'll look into some scripture of dealing with our mind, thinking about how Satan comes in hours of temptation, and he brings against us charges to the child of the believer. There's always the strength of the Lord Jesus to help us through these times. But what about the mind and others who don't know the Lord? How does this work in today's world when we think about, again, the power of the mind? I gave a kind of little matter last week talking about problem solving, and I'm keeping this kind of in our minds as well as we look at the things this morning. I said in solving problems, the first thing is to define the problem, then analyze the problem, develop a potential solution, evaluate the options, select the best option, implement the solution, and then measure the results. I'd like for us today to think about the mind. Your mind, mine, and what the scripture says about the mind. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, now beginning in verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, that and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As we think about the mind and look at the world and the condition of it today, he says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why? Because man, with his mind alone, sees that as a total waste of time. Think with me just a moment. Back in Genesis, when man was created in the image of God, he had also in that image a mind whereby he could think, just as God does. I said before, he had a heart, he had a will. In his failing in disobedience to God, his mind was changed. He had a mind as God. Adam was a smart human being, and I want to say think with me, Adam named all of the animals. He named his wife. He gave her a name. He had a mind to think with, and God, in his creation, allowed him to name all of these things. And I guess from that, of course, we would assume it's truth that Adam passed that to Eve, and it's been passed to mankind, and now we have these created things of God that have names. All different kinds of beasts, all different types of birds, which have all different kinds of fish, all of these things. But we find that in Adam failing in obedience to God, that his mind was opened. It says where they knew, he and Eve knew, that they had sinned. So in that disobedient state, they have another mind. Now they see what's wrong. And from that, of course, God put them out of the garden. They were removed from the garden, lest that they should eat of the tree of life and remain in that state. Because God wanted these created beings to have fellowship. He wanted, that's the purpose of the creation. And now here we have a man with a mind that's not bent toward God anymore. Neither is his heart or his will. We'll talk about that again at some other time. But we're talking about the mind. So being created in the image now of Adam, you and I and all of humanity, from Adam forward, are bent away from God. And the good news, of course, is Jesus Christ. We see that. It's the gospel. It's the truth of the Word of God. But I want us to think about that just a moment. We have God's Word to tell us who He is. We have God's Word to tell us where man started. We have God's Word to tell us why mankind is in the state that it's in today. We have all of this recorded for us and preserved by God. But man, with his mind bent away from God, is trying to do all that he can to take care of himself, if you would. He's trying to please himself. Man may be smart. We could say that man could raise himself up with an education of science, philosophy, medicine, law, anything that man wants, but without the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of that is foolishness. But then you think about the cross, this instrument, you can see with the eye, the preaching of that simple cross is to the man in his mind absolute foolishness. That's what it says. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. By the way, we see that man is perishing. Man doesn't live forever. And we see that declared by the glory of the Lord. We'll look at that also in just a minute. And he said in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. What is the wisdom of the wise? Look at today's world. Again, it's kind of silly. Man is becoming smarter and smarter. We've got AI, we've got TikTok, we've got anything you want to know. We've got Siri, we've got Alexa, you just ask them. I shouldn't. What if you ask one of these devices about salvation? What might be the answer? Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be according to the things of God. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead, not that he's any lower than the Father or the Son, but he's working in the world today, and he's tearing down the wisdom of man. You know, that's one of the harms of the study of Scripture in the 1800s, whereby we came out with the philosophy and the philosophers and all of these things. That was not new, because John in the Gnostics, in Gnosticism in his day, wrestled with that. There was always the Greek and the wisdom and the things of God. You remember when Paul went to Athens back in Acts chapter 17, just in case they missed one of the so-called gods, they had a place given to the unknown God. And Paul saw all of their other gods, just as the world does today, and kind of sort, if you think with me just a moment, as we talk to people in the world who don't have time for church, they don't have time for God, they don't really believe in God, they may be an agnostic or atheist or whatever, but the thing about it is, whatever they're doing, they have made that their God. And you try to talk with them about Jesus Christ or a man coming and dying on a cross, that's absolute foolishness. How can anyone be that dumb? How can anybody, you're a smart man, how can you believe that stuff? You believe that stuff in the Bible, amen. See, he says this, but God hath chosen the foolish things in verse 27 of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. What are the things that are mighty? God created everything, but man has pulled himself up, if you would, by his own bootstraps, so to speak, and he thinks he's got it all figured out. And God says the base things of the world and the things that are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And we might ask the question, why did he do that? It doesn't say that, but Paul kind of leads toward that in the writing here. In verse 29, answers that no flesh should glory in his presence. See, man cannot say to God that we have done anything to accomplish a privilege to go to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, lest we should boast, for by grace are you saved, and it's through faith. So with this thought in mind, I'll turn back and read in Romans chapter 1 again, beginning in verse number 16. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein," he's talking about in the gospel, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." It's revealed, God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. With that thought in mind, he goes on to say, "From faith to faith." In other words, we begin by faith and we grow in faith. "For it is written, the just shall live by faith." Then he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." It's amazing that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. So man can see the creation, in creation, that there's a creator. He can choose to believe that. He may not understand that, but that God has put that in man, that there's this void we often speak of, where it can only be filled by God. But man says, "I can do it myself. I'll do it with the mind. I'll create this. I'll make this work." And God says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the creation, which is the truth of God being displayed, they hold that in ungodliness and unrighteousness. He goes on to say, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Look at the creation and the power of God. Think with me just a moment. Here we are on planet Earth. Planet Earth is turning on its axis at about, 1,000 miles per hour? You're talking about a 25,000 mile circumference of the Earth. And if we could go up and remain at one given place for 24 hours, it would be back. We could see the church again tomorrow at the same time. It's going to leave us, but here comes New Covenant Baptist Church again, and it does this every 24 hours. Oh, that just happened. It's evolving. Well, if it was evolving, it wouldn't be every day at a certain hour, would it? But man has his own way of explaining things away. He has to come up with his own ideas. And we see this. He says, because that, when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You're talking about Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving about? Really, it's about thanking God, isn't it? We give it as a holiday here in this nation where our founders gave thanks to God for what he had done for them. He preserved them. He brought them here. And we give thanks to God. But he says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination. See, this is where the mind is. They became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, thinking about the heart, not just the beating muscle within our breast, but their minds had an effect on their heart. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We just saw where the wisdom of God is foolishness with man. Well, the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. They profess themselves to be wise. They became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You remember back in the creation, in the creation account, God created Adam, and he created Eve. And from that, of course, man began to procreate. And up to the day of Noah, sin began to reign in the earth. People were doing that which was right in their own eyes. People were doing whatever was good according to their mind. And God judged that generation. Only Noah, his three sons, and their wives came through the flood. Excuse me. Man again comes into a new earth now. Same created sphere, planet, but a new earth with after the flood, reconstructed, we might say, the way that the mountains came forth, the valleys went down. And in that, man's mind is still in that Adamic state, fallen state. What does mankind do? We find that in Genesis 11, man goes out, and again, think with me, with the mind, they say that there is no God. Maybe there's a heaven, we don't know. But they have this idea in their mind that they're going to build a temple to heaven. We're going to build a temple up to where God is, although we don't believe in the God. And what did God do but destroy the Tower of Babel? Baal, which means the gate of God, he brought it and tore it down and confused their language. They're going to build a tower to Baal, the gate of God, El being God. He destroyed it. And we look through the scripture, man is constantly trying with his own mind to appease himself and to make himself right in the eyes of God, and there's no way possible because the mind is against God. I'm going to give you some other scriptures to go along with this as we think about the confirming of what the scripture says. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, I'll read those for you in just 1 minute. Let me get there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." We're not to be that way. He's talking about having the mind bent away from God, alienated from God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Again, he talks about how the mind affects the heart. It begins in the mind and then the heart is darkened. We talk about the natural man. So if we were to say, what is the problem? Don't misunderstand me here. We say, well, the heart, they need a new heart. That's true. But the mind as well, thinking again about the creation of God, you've got the mind, heart, and will. The mind must be changed. How can this happen? How can we analyze the problem? What does the mind do? Well, we see that it works against the Lord. It again is defiled. I've got some other scriptures I wanted to read to you. Titus 1:15 talks about this, about the mind being defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Think about that. Now Paul's talking about in his day and time, we're far removed from Genesis chapter 11 to the day of Paul, but even you say, well, you know, Paul almost 2,000 years ago was stating the same thing that we read back in Genesis 11, and it's real today in our world. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. One who fails the test. Everything that they do, it fails the test. It fails God's test. A defiled mind. There's a matter again of the earthly mind. That, again, Adam created from the earth. We're thinking about the creation of Adam, talking about the earth. And oftentimes in Scripture, the word earth is used, earthly, sensual, carnal, fleshly. That's the Adamic nature that you and I have. And what it says about the earthly is in Philippians 3 and verse number 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. In other words, where is your mind? We look at again the world today. That's the question I asked last week. Why is the world in the condition that it's in? Well, we see that man is following and pursuing the dreams of his mind. If you can dream it, you can do it. What would God have us to do? How can we find satisfaction? How can we find peace? How is it that you and I can find the joy that men are searching for? Well, we can do it again in the Word of God. And that's the thing that's so important. We have an answer. There is an answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Apart from that, trying this, trying other things, there will never be any joy. No one will ever have the joy that's needed. They'll never come to peace and satisfaction because they're blinded. And that's what we say. The mind is blinded. They've been blinded by the god of this world. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians, how the god of this world blinds the mind of those. And that natural mind, you're talking about the earthly, the carnal, and the natural. Again, back in 1 Corinthians, we saw where the gospel, of course, is being preached. It's foolishness. The cross is. Because the natural mind can't accept that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I want you to think for just a moment with me about the Bible. We often talk about the Word of God being placed in the schoolhouse years ago, and it was. Bibles have been placed in hotels, hospitals, places by the Gideons. That's their ministry, to put the Word of God out. And I'm not criticizing that by any means. Please don't misunderstand me. We need the Word of God. But apart from the Holy Spirit opening and illumining our eyes and our mind to the things of God, it's simply black letters on white paper. What do you mean by that? Well, it takes more than just man determining, I'm going to read that Bible that you say that you read, and I'm going to do it. And by the way, you know, for years and years, the Bible's been the best seller. Why? Because more Bibles were sold than any other books. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Bible readers were to heed to the Word of God? Wouldn't that be something? What's the difference? I'll share my own personal testimony. My wife was saved when we were married. I was not saved. I was a church goer. I have been raised in church, but I wasn't saved. And she would go to church and I would not. And I decided I'm going to start reading the Bible. And you know what the Bible did for me? What it did for me at that time? Just exactly what it did at the time when I was a child. It just was stories. I said, I'll start in the book of Genesis. And I read till I got bogged down in some of the names, like a lot of people do. Well, I could tell you that God created the heaven and the earth, and I could tell you about Noah and the flood, but I did not have a spiritual discernment about any of it. It was, again, just good stories. So don't let me criticize putting Bibles in school or Bibles in hotels or hospitals, because they need to be there. There could be those that could be reading that the Holy Spirit is drawing. Jesus said the Spirit of God draws a man to Him. And we're talking about being called by God. He said this in 1 Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many are wise. See, God's calling. But to sit down and use the book as a textbook just to talk about good things and good stories and good morals has nothing to do with the heart and the mind. Unless the Spirit of God illumines the mind and one is born again, by what? By reading the Word of God, what turns the mind loose to understand the things of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul had written earlier, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But he had said back in Romans, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. That word that's used, the power, is the dunamis. It's the power of God that removes everything so that the mind can comprehend and understand what salvation is all about. I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many others are here today that have read Scripture, heard Scripture, but until your eyes were illumined by the Spirit of God when you were saved, did it make sense? I'm talking about spiritual matters. Not talking about man builds a boat, he's preserved through a flood. We're talking about in that same preservation of God's Word being preached to Noah, God judged the world. Because of what? Because they didn't receive what he preached. What did he preach? He preached just as God said, through the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. But men have rejected that. And I read again back in Romans where that the wrath of God has been revealed. But they took the things that God created and made gods out of them, not understanding the things of God. So there is the Word of God that leads us to understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, I'd like for us to look at verse number 7 and following. So then, he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he goes, excuse me, I'm in 3. Let me look at chapter 2. I missed that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, he's speaking now about the things of God on this side of the cross. Remember, Paul was a very brilliant man. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the words of the prophet, but he wasn't saved. His mind was not right. In his mind, these believers who are saved now by the Spirit of God, they're harming the work of God. We're going to arrest them. We're going to put them in jail. We're going to see that they're put to death. But now he's been converted. And now he's speaking, he says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. See, that's the key to this whole matter of the mind. It takes the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to illumine the mind. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is going to have to reveal these to man. He's the one that knows and has the mind of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. He's talking to believers now. We don't have just the spirit of man and receiving the things of the earth, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How can we know them? With our mind. They become real. The things that you've heard, the things that you've studied, the Word of God now, it becomes real in a person's heart through the mind. We know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you see how that the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to the mind? And now, of course, this is working in the heart. All of these are created being of God. The mind, the heart, and the will, all of this is done by the Spirit of God. But to just have, try to tell a man that you're in need of a Savior. He said, why? I've got everything I want. I don't need anything. He doesn't understand. Well, look at death, my friend. If you look at time in itself, death has entered the ranks of all of humanity. Do you have anyone in your family that's passed away? Yeah. Have you ever thought about where they are now? And I'm not talking about being reincarnated. Some may answer with that, yeah. Then we begin to talk about where are you going when you die? Death is certain. Death is sure. We all will die. As the question arises, then what? What after that death? The mind is blinded to the things of God. Sometimes it is through the matter of death. It's amazing how God works. God can be calling a person, we not know it. God is working in a person's life. He may be working events in someone's life, and we not know it, but God is doing that, and we may be the one that brings the word to them at that very appropriate time. And they inquire of it, how does that work? What are you trying to tell me? What do I need to do? What do you mean Christ died for me? I don't know Christ. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. Because God created you. God made you, and God wants you to spend eternity with him and have fellowship with him. Friends, what we need to do is understand, get settled in our mind, what we are and who we are in Christ, what we know in the Lord. We need to read his word, because again, without having the Holy Spirit of God, it's black letters on white paper. But once I became saved, then I got into the word of God, and it started speaking to my heart. And it became real. And I had a burden. That's immediate. One thing about it is it's amazing to me. When someone gets saved, almost immediately they have a burden for someone else. I wonder about my mother. That's what I did. What about my mother? What about my father? What about my brother? What about this? What about that? Go immediately. Where is that coming from? Because in my mind and heart I'm thinking, yeah, they believe just like I do. I've got a lot of people who, friends, still believe the same way I believed. That bothers me. Why? Because we have to have the mind of Christ to understand the things of God. That comes at salvation. God gives us the faith to believe. God gives us the mind to understand. Excuse me. Apart from God, where would we be? So we see, again, we analyze the problem with the world today. The minds aren't right. How do we get the minds right? Do they need a PhD in science or medicine? No, what they need is an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Number one, God loves them. Number two, God will save them. You say, can I witness to the wrong one? I don't think so. You may witness to someone that God has dealt with and he's left them alone, but we don't know it, but you witness anyway. And you witness until God takes us home. That's what he's left us here for. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, he said, the mind of Christ. Think about that this morning. You have the mind of Christ. In that salvation account, you have now the ability to understand God, to communicate with God. That's why he created Adam. We have a mind that we can fellowship with God. Of course, we still have an Adamic nature. We have a mind where Satan shoots his fiery darts in. He tries to attack the mind. He'll attack the mind. Friends, you know this as well as I. You can wake up in the middle of the night and say, where in the world did that come from? Satan. That's why we put on the helmet of salvation, to protect our mind. Put the things of God in your heart. What did Jesus fight Satan with when he was attacked? He fought him with the word of God. We need to remind him of who we are. We're a child of God. Remind him of where he's going. He's going into the lake of fire to be done away with forever and ever. So let's keep our minds strong, and let's ask God to help us to help others to get their minds right. Let's stand together this morning, if you would, as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know the mind of each and every individual here this morning. Those that may listen by way of internet, Lord, you know every mind, every detail of life, from now through all eternity. And Father, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we've been given the mind of Christ to understand what lies ahead, to understand who needs to be saved, to understand where this world's headed. And Father, I pray that you would help us to use our minds in a way that would bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may honor you, Heavenly Father, for what you've done for us. And Lord, help us to help those who don't know you somehow, Lord, to give the right word to get into their minds the things of God, that we be a blessing. Father, and we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.